afternoon, and thank you for joining us for this captivating conversation. Thank you for joining us. Good afternoon. My name is Michelle Jones, the host of Captivating Conversations. Today we'll be discussing acrimony. It's a topic that we have been waiting to hear for some time. I've had a lot of requests, so it has been something that has been anticipated for quite a while. Before we get started, I just want to talk a little bit about acrimony just for a moment. I want to see that we have lots of callers calling from all over the Metroplex, here local in Dallas, as far as California, Chicago. I see some California numbers here. But let's talk about acrimony here just for a moment. So let's talk about the actual word acrimony means. It's a noun. It means bitterness, ill feelings, malice, spite, spitefulness, venom, anger, rancor. And so this evening, we're going to have a candid discussion between both genders about why sometimes we have these feelings after failed relationships and marriages. And we have two guests that will be representing both the female view and a male view for perspective for this evening. So I'm just going to see right now if I have one of my guests on the line already and I want to look for my other guest here just for a minute. Let me see. Letha, are you on the line? One second. She is on the line. Okay, Letha, we got you on the line now. So let me introduce, before we get started, a couple guests. And before I get started, I'm going to unmute everybody on the call just for a minute because I just want to ask one standard question to all the guests. Just give me just a moment so I can unmute your mics. If you're somewhere and you have music in the background, please mute your phone if you're on a cell phone so we don't get any feedback. I'll also give out an email address if you have any questions for today's conversation and you want to have a point or a comment on anything we're talking about in terms of acrimony. You'll have to email me at captivatingconversations@yahoo.com. That's captivatingconversations@yahoo.com. You can email me, give me your name, the city that you're calling in from. Okay, somebody's on the phone ordering some food. So, okay, so let's just ask very quickly, how many people have seen the movie, yay or nay, if you've seen the movie? Say yay if you've seen the movie.
Nay.
If you have not seen the movie.
Nay.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a pretty spirited discussion this evening. Before we get started, let me introduce our two, and I'm going to mute everybody back except for my guests because I hear some background noise. One second while I do that. I got you. One second. Okay, so my first guest is Letha. She's an entrepreneur. She's a real estate agent, a commercial and residential. She specializes in commercial leasing. She's smart. She's a sports enthusiast. She knows more about sports than 75% of the men I know. And men, don't get angry. Letha can talk to you about any sport. Football, basketball, tennis, she knows it all. And then the second person we have is Steve. He's a Chicago native, so brothers, you know he already came with his fist balled up today. He's a business owner. Wow. He's hardworking. He's opinionated. He's going to give it to you ladies straight without any chasers. So before we get started, a lot of people said that they had not heard about the movie at all. So is there anybody on the line, either Letha or Steve, that would like to give just an overview of what the movie was about?
I'll let Letha go ahead and have that.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Yeah, the movie was about this young couple who actually had started dating when they were really young, fell in love, got married, and the wife was a really hard worker, and the husband was a real hard worker at getting his product off the ground. it took a number of years for him to actually get the product of the money. But during those years, they fell into a real, real tough financial situation where they lost pretty much everything. They were living in a house that was the wife's mother had left to her. They ended up taking a second out on the house, and they ended up losing it to the bank. So they had, neither one of them had anywhere to stay. Of course, she had a couple of sisters that were business owners. She went to stay with the sisters, and her and her husband ended up getting back together, trying to still make the relationship work. But again, the finances kept.
Hello.
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 I think we
Hello?
Lost her.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you
can
y'all
hear
me?
I can hear everybody. Can everybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, she was.
Go ahead. Is she on speaker or something?
Hello.
Yeah. Are you on speaker? Somebody on speaker?
Can you hear?
Yeah.
I hear a lot of background noise.
I hear a lot of background noise. Me too. And I'm not. It's not me.
Chad, did we lose the host? No, Letha, I'm here, Letha. Continue. Letha?
Yeah,
Steve,
well, I'm
can
back.
Can you hear me?
So I can hear you. Yes, I can.
Okay, so let me see if what happened with Letha. I should have her on the line. Her mic is open.
Okay, yeah, there was a lot of background noise.
Okay, yeah, so I've closed that out. Okay, so we'll continue from here. I have Letha's mic open, and I have yours open, Steve, 4570.
All
oh,
right,
okay, Letha's actually 4589. One second, Steve. I'm sorry. I need somebody to be doing this for me right now. Let me get Letha back on the line, and then we'll continue. But go and add whatever comments you want to add while I do that, Steve.
Okay, well, when I seen the movie, they started out, they were in college. She actually flunked out of college because she wasn't a great student. Her mother died and willed her the house. She did help him and bring him along. She helped him with the money that she got from the her mother passing and stuff like that. She bought him a car. They weren't married. He used the car. Met this other female. Things transpired. He left her alone. Him and Taraji. I can't remember her name. They got married. They ended up getting married. He was an inventor.
Melinda.
He was an inventor. He was an engineer, but he was an inventor. His dream was to it was about that battery, and turning that in and making money from that invention. She did help. She did hold him down for all the years that it took for him to, get famous. But during that time, he wasn't doing anything else. He was just so focused on that invention.
So let's segue right here. So just to give a high-level overview to our listeners, when her mother passed, her name is Melinda and Robert, she inherited $350,000 in her mom's house. So the first violation is, Melinda asked, what kind of man, and this is a quote from the movie, takes advantage of a girl's grief? He had to know grief leaves you open. He took my mind. He took my heart. He took my virginity. Was that
hold
a foul?
Hold on. Now wait a minute. The man was the same age she was. So you're giving him too much credit at 19 or whatever. However, because they were both young, however old he was, you give him too much credit to say what kind of man takes your virginity, somebody who gave their virginity away. Now, I'm not saying that she did not hold him down, because she did, but you can't place the onus on a young guy and act like he had that kind of thought process that he was going to do this, because he never left her. Whenever it all happened, he didn't leave. He got put out. He got told to leave. So he didn't take anything. He believed in his dream. It took a lot longer than anticipated for him to become, you know, wealthy or famous, but he never misled her or anything. He told her what he was trying to do, what he was going to do, how his life was going to eventually go.
Okay, Lisa. And yes, he did tell her what he was going to do, but during all of those years, at some point in time, I felt like, as a man, and you want to run the household or be somewhat head of the household or even equal with her, I felt like he should have got some type of work he could have done in the afternoon to help support
her. Now, that's the only thing I will agree with you on. I agree with you on that. But
there you go.
In a marriage.
Okay, let me say this. Let me narrate. Let Lisa finish.
Oh. Okay. So, in the meantime, if you know, you got to eat, she got to eat, and you still got to buy certain things to continue with your project, to get your project up and running. That costs also.
Right.
So instead of using all of her $350,000 cash, which they were a married couple, they were in this together, so I totally get that you're going to hold your man down. But when the money was gone, I'm just
but
like
let's not go that far yet. Let's talk of violation two. So violation two, out of the $350,000, she purchased him a car for $24,739. And her feeling was that she bought Robert a car. What if he and she said that Robert said, what if he
for
called
Robert to get back
Prescott
and forth to school.
Wait, let me finish. Robert said, what if Prescott calls, but I don't have a way. She said he had a way of not asking but suggesting, making me feel like I wanted to do these things for him. See?
Mm-hmm. She did want to do them. That's why she did them. Because he never, like you said, you can't have it both ways. He never asked her. I mean, I could suggest all the time, but you could also say, baby, I'm sorry, we just get you a bus pass. You didn't have to go buy the man a $24,000 car. She did that. Now, because she felt a certain way about it. And as soon as she did that, he did play off with the other female, and she drove her car into the trailer and tore her body up.
Which is violation three.
Have kids at that point. Okay, well, hold
on. Violation number three. Robert was caught with another woman. She turned his trailer over. She broke out his window.
They were not.
And she ruptured her ovaries and had to have a full hysterectomy. She wasn't even 21 years old. What's your point?
Exactly.
She's not married.
So the point is that he was 21 as well, because they were the same age. So at 21, he's doing the same immature things on a different way than she was, because of her driving to the trailer, which was stupid as hell. And I guess cost her $24,000 that she felt like she wanted to tear some up. But even after that, he asked her to marry him, and she married him.
Okay, well,
you're
getting ahead.
You know,
Wait. Let's let Letha respond to that.
Go ahead,
right.
Yeah. It was stupid, and we do stupid things when we're real young in life. But the fact of the matter is that she loved him enough so that he wouldn't have to try and catch a ride, catch the bus, be on time for an appointment to see his dream come true. So she took the extra step that he couldn't take for himself. He couldn't afford to buy himself a car because he didn't have a hustle game. Yeah, she had money and her mom had left her, but where was his hustle game as a man? That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. He should have hustled and say, I know to get a part-time job at night. Even I know to do that. And I did it at 21. And most of us on this phone did that at 21 because coming from a community that most of us come from, you know you got to work to help see your dream. That's all I'm saying.
Steve?
Well, number one, I didn't work when I was in school because when you're under scholarship, you can't work. You're on football scholarship,
you
can't work. So.
Boom.
Yeah,
you
can't work.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're correct.
You can't.
You're correct.
You can't.
But
you
don't be interjecting
work.
That into the conversation. He was not an athlete.
But, well, no, he wasn't.
No
but,
scholarship.
But what he was but what he was. But the bottom line is the man when if we looked at the movie, the man came from a deprived family anyway. You knew that based on how the movie was. Now,
right.
He did not have anything. She knew that. He dressed, the whole movie was set up to where this man didn't have it. The only thing he had was his smarts, and he had that invention. That's what she knew.
Brains.
She knew he didn't have anything.
He had brains.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, he had brains, yeah. And he had that invention. And he told her, through all this, if this thing breaks, you know, baby, before they were married and everything, because he believed in it that much. Now, she's right.
Right.
He could have held down the job. He could have held down the job. I mean, I don't know no cat that don't work, period. But I don't know no woman that's going to, you know, that hold you that long for that many years without some kind of problem. But that's what she decided to do. There was no children involved. She did that.
I think most of the women on this line know a few men that don't work.
Well, I ain't never known no man don't work.
So let's fast forward. Violation 4, which I'm calling Violation 4, Robert asked Melinda to get married. He has no ring, no income. Her sisters objected. They didn't come to the wedding. Then, later on in the marriage, she's working two jobs. She's working for a friend. She's cleaning offices at the end of the night to help Robert with his dream on trying to get this Gale Force project
battery.
Or invention going, which was basically a battery that recharges itself. And he says, I'll get a job, but I won't. It will be hard. How will I work? And so during this time, after she purchased the car, she spends another $73,467.11 for his scholarship for him to complete his degree. And then,
well, not scholarship,
after
for tuition. For tuition.
Yeah, tuition.
Yeah.
I mean, for the tuition.
Yeah, tuition.
For the tuition, correct.
Right.
Didn't I say to finish his degree?
Right.
No, you said scholarship. Yeah. That's what I was saying. That's
okay, scholarship. He would have lost his scholarship as a result, is what he said. He lost his scholarship, and so she paid that
right.
So for his tuition. And then down through
right.
the years, now she's down to $269,000, $884.49 out of the $350,000 that her mother left her. So over the years, during the 18 years of the marriage, she buys him books, supplies, plastic, pays for research. She uses $245,000, $116.40. Then it comes to violation number 6. In process of testing his...
Which one was 5?
I said 5. 5 was that he said he couldn't get a job because it would interfere
okay.
with his
right.
study.
Okay.
And okay.
Right.
So
I'm
violation
right, so
6
I'm just trying to
is,
keep up.
Okay, I know. You're keeping us honest. You see these brothers? I
yeah.
said the brothers came prepared and to represent.
I'm just writing down.
Okay. So violation 6 is that when he burned up all the wiring in the house, he needed $37,000 worth of damage. However, after all those things, buying the car, paying for the tuition, and all the book supplies, plastic, and research, she only had $24,000 left. So that left her in the negative $12,000, $771.60. So take it from there, Steve. What did she have to do? They mortgaged the home.
Well, she had to take a second on the house. Another lien on the house. And hold on about that. I don't understand why you have to pay $37,000. No way, because you got homeowner's insurance. But that's another story. But so somebody, you know, the person who wrote the movie really wasn't correct. Because there's no way we pay a $500 deductible if all the wires burn up in the house if you got homeowner's insurance. Okay. But anyway, she did do that. She did all that because she was holding him down. That's not the debate. The debate is not that. I mean, she held him
okay.
down. She held him down.
Okay,
she,
so let's continue
years,
then.
Him down.
I want to give the listeners a good overview because a lot of people indicated that they hadn't seen the movie. I'll go on through the next violation. So violation 7, he graduated from college. He had 3 job interviews. All of them started at least $105,000 a year. He couldn't get the jobs. And then
he wouldn't take
full
the job.
Disclosure. Yes. No, it's not that he wouldn't take them. Full disclosure was that he was in a gang at the age of 15. He robbed a grocery store, and he was charged as an adult. He had spent 2 years in jail, so he was charged as a felon. So he was unable to take the jobs. They were not offered.
Right, that is correct. Okay. That is correct.
Okay, so violation A, male mortgaged her mother's home. Here it is. Whoop, here it is. It was paid for. And what she says at that point, Melinda says, I was in too deep. I couldn't keep working like this. I had to fall for the con. That's a direct quote from the movie. And so violation
right.
9, after 18 years of marriage, the home was foreclosed on. It was foreclosed on because he finally realized that Prescott wouldn't see him. That's the company that wanted to look at the computer. They weren't going
right.
to take a look at his project, and he wanted to provide a life for Mel that included living in a high rise, a yacht. He wanted a yacht that that he wanted to name Mrs. Gales, which was their last name, and a private jet. And Mel finally said to him, but have you ever asked what I wanted? She said, I just wanted you to get a job, Steve.
Yeah.
That's all she
yes,
wanted. She wanted the brother to get a job.
I know. Hold on. Well, you didn't have that kind of brother, though. That's not the brother you had. You met a brother who had a dream about what he wanted to do with his life and his invention. You understood that from the beginning. He never misled you and told you. He never said he was no regular cat. Everybody can't be a CEO. When you dream big, you can achieve. He was a different kind of guy. He already laid that out in the beginning. So you can't make something.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because everybody can't create a battery and get $175 million. He was a different
right.
kind of
he
guy.
He was a different kind of guy. He was a smart kind of guy. But a smart kind of different kind of man still understands that the home has to be taken care of first.
I understand that.
Point blank.
So here you go. He's an engineer. He went to go get a job, realized that the felony he had when he was a kid, he couldn't get a job. So during the whole movie, he was bugging the heck out of Prescott and them to see his invention. It wasn't like he wasn't trying. He was bugging them. They called the police on him and told him, don't go over there no more. That's how hard he was actually
right.
trying to achieve his goal. It wasn't like he wasn't trying. He just wasn't no regular cat going to run no boxes for UPS and nothing like that.
He was actually trying to do that. You're right. He was pounding real hard. He was beating on these folks to interview him, to come and see, to just give him a chance to speak with him the same way I was doing when I wanted to work for this bank when I got out of high school. I would go by there every other day and go and talk to the manager and say, hey, I'm graduating in a couple of months. Can I get a job here? I did the same thing. I kept beating the pavement because I wanted to work also. I wanted
right.
to get a job. I wanted somebody to see me. But still
okay.
doing that whole time, Michelle, I went to other places as well. Because if this doesn't pan out, I got a secondary right here behind me. So all I'm saying about him, he wanted to live his dream. She made sure he could live that dream by supporting him, which is what most females will do when you hold your man down.
Okay,
she made sure he was living.
Forward.
She made sure he was living. She didn't make sure he was
exactly.
living his dream. She made sure
okay,
he was living.
Okay, but let's listen up, though, Steve. Okay, so eventually Robert loses the house, he and Melinda, and the family rallies around them. They give him an opportunity. We can get this house back in 3 months if you just sign on with the family business, which they had a delivery service. All Robert had to do is deliver a few packages every day and for 3 months,
right.
and then they would be in advance 3 weeks of pay for every week of work, and in 3 months they anticipated they would be able to purchase the house back. But violation number 11, Robert got the call from Prescott. Prescott will see you today. And so Prescott will see you at 11:30 today, actually, and Robert didn't make the delivery. So he lost the contract with the client, and they didn't get the trucks. So fast forward for the listeners who did not see the movie, this is when all the stuff hits the fan, and then now Melinda wants a divorce. Yeah, all hell broke loose. So now we're here. So they get a divorce.
Okay, can I interject right now before you go further?
Yeah. Let me interject right quick too. The reason why a lot of the hell broke loose was the sisters, her sisters and her sister's husband, that was their business that they put on the line for him. So now they've lost their biggest contract, which supports the entire family. That's one reason why all the hell broke loose. He's jeopardized their careers and how they're going to continue their kind of lavish, very upper middle class lifestyle.
They had so regular lives. But go ahead.
Yeah, that was hurtful to them. Okay, I'm sorry, Michelle.
Oh no, that's good. So moving
all right,
fast
can
forward.
I
go on. Go right ahead, Robert. I mean, Steve.
Now,
go right ahead.
Steve, what now? What you are saying is correct, but this man has been waiting 20-something years for this phone call. Because you just said, young lady, that he was pounding the pavement trying to get that call from Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
been waiting 27 years. He tried, when they first called him, he said, can I wait till a little bit later? She said, no, you're either going to come now or you will never get this opportunity again, basically.
Yeah.
So you're going to deliver a box. Or you're gonna go get $170 million, or you know, or you're gonna fulfill your dream, so you can buy that whole little box company, you can buy all them little boxes and that little regular lifestyle that everybody's living. If you go make this deal, he went to the deal and they offered him $800,000+ for his battery and he didn't take it. And when
yes,
he came
okay.
home,
so when he
I
didn't
told
take
everybody
it, this
that
is a, this is
he
a
said,
direct
I know my dream
movie.
Is worth more than that. I know it's worth
he
more
says,
than
no,
that. He came home
I
and told
can't.
His old
it's
lady.
It's not a good offer. I have no intention of selling
right.
my work. They offered him $800,000 to sign that day, and he would have had to sign a non-compete, give up his research notes and his plans, and they would have given him $800,000 without his prototype. Brothers, should he have sold it? Steve?
No.
Should he have signed for $800,000?
No, I mean, well, obviously after the movie keeps going, you know he shouldn't have sold for $800,000 because
right.
They offered him a lot more, and you'll tell that story later on in one of them points that you're going to make. But the bottom line is, it's not up to me. It was what he believed in his dream because he put 20 years towards that. So he came home and told his wife, baby, you know, hey, I know I messed up on them boxes, some damn boxes, but I'm telling you, this thing is going to hit right now. They just offered me $800,000, and she said, you didn't take it? Because she thought small, because she's always been a regular worker, bless her heart. She held me down with her mama money, but she did is work as a secretary and clean floors. But she didn't. Now, this girl on the phone, she's a realtor, she's a broker. Come on now, let's call it what it was. You a regular worker that got your mama money. So she's always thought small, too. The man didn't. He told her, baby, don't.
You're offending a lot of women on this call.
Well,
know,
just
right?
be offended. The truth is the truth.
That's not thinking small.
If you think
that's
regular,
not thinking small.
You
doing whatever
you
need to do to keep your family afloat. That was his job.
I'm not tripping with that. I understand that. But don't tell me, like, if I want to be just like a football career.
Quit saying boxing.
Go ahead, baby.
Now, see, you know that was their business. And you know that they were rolling. That was a high upper end middle class family.
What did they deliver though?
It was just boxes. They were really,
okay, it was boxes.
Good.
That's all I said.
So,
I wasn't lying about
that,
what they were delivering.
That's funny, and I swear that's funny. I'm not lying because I've been cracking up on that part. But the thing
they
is,
they delivered boxes.
That was how.
Okay. Okay, y'all, we're not gonna stay on that point too long. Let's move the listeners along. So Robert goes in, and he turns down the deal with Prescott, and he comes back, and Melinda asks for a divorce. And he asks her, are you sure you want to do this? I love you so much. And Melinda is gung-ho. She says, definitely. She said, it was something about my rage. It's blind. It's not rational. It doesn't subside. It won't quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's immediate. So she was enraged about it, and she wanted a divorce. So they proceeded to a divorce. And then later, Melinda begins to date. She goes out with her high school boyfriend or college boyfriend, I guess, and she's in a restaurant. And when she looks in the restaurant, she says for the first time that she's out with a man that can pay the check, that commands attention in the room, And
he is a man
she said
attention.
For the first
he
time I was out
check.
With the man that could pay the check and demanded attention in the room. All eyes were on him. Then she looks over in the kitchen, and there's Robert washing dishes. The same one Steve said really didn't need to work, but he working now that Melinda and divorced him.
No, I never said he didn't need to work. That's not what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I said he could have worked.
See,
I said he could have worked.
That's the part that really got me. All she wanted him to do was to get some at night to just help pay the bills. She didn't say nothing about paying all the bills. Just to help me. She kept saying, help me out. Help me out was all she wanted him to do. That was just it. And that was what I couldn't understand. I'm like, dang, he college educated. He's smart. He's a good-looking guy.
He wasn't a good-looking guy when he was in school.
Oh, my God, I just wanted him to go to work and keep the marriage together because he did truly love her. She did want
He looked like a buster.
He wanted
But anyway.
To work. He
didn't
have to
though. He did. In school, he did. Yes, he did.
Look,
Lisa,
he had potential, like women say. He had potential.
Hey.
Okay.
Over 6 feet tall, brown, dark. Oh, he was dark and lovely. Let me just say that. Okay, so.
Let me tell you what Melinda said about him. She said he was dark and sexy. The devil sure knows how to put a package together. That was a direct quote from the movie.
I understand she did say that in the movie, but. The actual guy. Now the second guy, as they got older, I understand what you said, but that guy that was in high in college, nah, that he looked goofy, walked like he was flew for that. But anyway, back to this. What you said about the movie, you just said about the guy that when he came home, he told his wife. Now when she clowned him, she clowned him in front of her sister, her brother-in-law, and told him to get out. I don't want you no more. I'm done with you. Mm-hmm. He begged for his marriage right there in front of everybody, which a lot of cats, especially the ones in Chicago, will not do. We're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I done begged for my relationship, baby. Please don't do this. I'm telling you, this thing is going to turn for us. She said, no, I'm done with you. I don't want you no more. Get out. That's why he had to go wash dishes and live in a soup kitchen or live in a shelter. But go ahead.
He was living in a shelter. And let me just say this. Yes, he made all those statements. He did say that he loved her, but he went to work for the first time for himself, something that he couldn't do for the marriage and for his wife when she was working herself to the bone. And I understand both points. I can't really side on either side, but I have somebody who wants to chime in. I'm a give it to a caller right here in Dallas just for a minute who just emailed me again. If you're wanting to make a comment, go to captivatingconversations@yahoo.com. Send me an email with your name on it and what city you're calling from, and we'll let you chime in. Lisa, I got you a little help on the line. Angel from Dallas wants to comment on something.
Wow.
All right.
Okay. Go
hello,
right ahead, Angel.
Hello.
We got you.
Hello.
Hey, Angel.
Yes,
how are you?
How are
hey,
you
Angel.
Fellas and ladies doing? Hello.
Okay. So where do I even start? Just from the man working, how I think I'm not going to be quoted, Robert or one of the fellas said, you know, he didn't make her buy the car. No, he didn't. He did never made her do anything. But when you're together and you're supporting somebody, for you to get to work $24,000, she wanted him to look nice. He was getting a good education. Why not kind of look the part, boost his confidence, really get him out there to really feel good about doing what he needed to do? And it's always like when we do it, it's like, but I didn't ask. You know, so he never worked. Like you said, it could have been night. It could have been busting dishes. She's busting her back, bleeding her knees to support him. You never took the initiative to nothing. So then when she said, okay, it's over in front of the family, you know, oh, no, baby, I know you do love me because look at what everything that I've done. You better love me. You should have loved me. Or did you love what I was doing for you?
Well, I'll tell you what she said. Let me give a direct quote from the movie. What she said was it appeared to her as the money went down, he became a little bit, as the money got low, so did his affection, tolerance, and patience. That's what Melinda said, direct quote from the movie.
Now, that was true. Okay. I was going to say something about the fact that they, towards the end, they really weren't clicking. Because remember in the movie, she actually said that he must be sleeping with somebody because he ain't really, you know, she was talking to her friend at work.
Touching
me. He ain't really sleeping with me. And he doing something, you know. She felt like, because she had a jealous, she was always jealous anyway because 20 years ago. So anything that didn't act right, she was going to go there anyway. But that's where she went. So they was having some, you know, some problems connection-wise towards the end of that anyway.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Okay. So let's move the conversation forward again. Okay. So Robert gets the call, and he gets the call from the lady that he had the affair from. She now works for Prescott. Her name is Diana. And so when he gets there, he looks a mess. Diana says to him, listen, what's wrong with you? And she says, you need to put the personal shit aside and go in here and own the room. That was early on. So then when she finds out that that he is going to be considered, she calls him and says, where are you at? So Prescott is now considering the research that he's been trying to submit for 20 years in his life. And he sounded real down. And she said, where are you at? She says, I'm coming to get you. When she went to go get Robert, she put him in a bath. She encouraged him. She said, I always thought when someone leaves you, maybe they shouldn't share or go to the level you're going to. And she told Robert, I hate seeing you this broken and defeated. You're a good man, Robert. And then here's the grand finale. Prescott decides to do business with him. Diana brings him the check. This is a check from Prescott. It's the best and final offer. It's for the licensing for your technology, and you'll still own the IP, which is the intellectual properties, which means he would still be able to make money off his project, although he actually sold the actual technology to Prescott. So now let's move a little bit further. When he gets that money, he signs for $150 million, viewers and listeners, for the Gale Force. He signs for $150 million, and he gets to keep his intellectual properties. So he shows up at Melinda's office. They're now divorced. He wants to speak to her. He asks for 10 minutes. Melinda tells him, you have 1 minute or 2 minutes. I don't remember which. 2 minutes. And so what Robert tells her, he says, although we're divorced, I want you to have this. Not many women would have put up with me over the years, loving me, caring for me, and not many women would have put up with me. He said, I love you, Mel, and I always will. He gave her a check for $10 million. He then gave her another envelope, and he said, I bought your mother's house back. It may not look quite like it did since there were renters in there, and he gave her the deed to the mother's house. So,
right
now,
thank you.
Now, wait a minute, can
here,
I interject
Stephen,
right
Lisa.
Now?
Yes,
I got it. Can I, Lisa? I'm gonna have this right quick
okay,
now,
because
you glossed over a lot of issues in that. Number one, when he he was living in that shelter. That woman did. She seen him in the restaurant. She was with her new fly guy and looked at him wash dishes, and she kind of commented on it. Then she's totally moved on with her life. He moved on. He had to move on in another way. When that deal did break, he walked up to her job, and the first thing came out of her mouth to him is, who gave you that suit? Because I know your broke butt didn't have one. And no, we're not getting back together. That's what she said to him. He said,
okay,
I know I'm not coming
correct.
Up here for that. I'm not coming up here for that. I appreciate you holding me down all those years and you having my back, you know, even when I lost it myself. He gave her that $10 million. Plus, he gave her the keys to the house. Go ahead.
Oh,
right.
Okay, let me add something there since you said I glossed over it. He also, when she was in the restaurant, which I did say that he worked in the kitchen, I did say she was with her man. I gave a quote of what she said, that he demanded the room. Yeah. But she did say when
everybody's
she was in the restaurant.
Moved on.
Yeah, okay, that he owes me $1,234,908. She said, because I want to be paid back for every dime I spent and half of the bills for all the years we were together. And it looks like he'll be washing a lot of dishes. Then, fast forward, listeners, he hits it for the $150 million, and he comes and gives her $10 million. Ladies, should she have been happy and went on, carried on, or should she have expected more? Letha, help us.
This is how she could have gotten more. And yes, if he told her actually how much he made, Here's my thing. This is how I feel out when you get a divorce. Because of everything that she put into him and what she paid for to get the business started, in her divorce decree, Michelle, she should have said, if this business of yours takes off and it hits big, I want 50% to come to me. So then,
would
you
have objected to that, Steve? 50% after you hit it big, after you've held a man down all those years?
Well, the thing about it is, at the time, she didn't believe in him. So there's no way you're going to ask for something that you don't believe in. And nothing from nothing leaves nothing. She wanted to get out of the marriage because they just lost the house.
Wow.
She didn't have no idea that he would hit off.
She believed in him. She did believe in him.
She believed in it, but for how long, Steve?
But
I'm talking about the time of the divorce. She did not. She did not.
Well,
because if
she'd
have believed
in
she
was tired.
She didn't believe in him no more, regardless of whether you're tired
through.
Or whatever. Exactly.
But she didn't believe
in him no more.
But still, she was entitled to. And see, I understand her going to.
She wasn't entitled to nothing.
She was nutso by then. Because, see, this whole thing has sent her to. Yes, she was.
Okay, let me get some help on the line, Letha, because how is she not entitled to it, Steve? And he wouldn't have even had the invention had she not worked like a Hebrew slave for all those years of the marriage and sacrificed, lost all of her savings and her mother's house for him to invent it. So how are you not entitled to have?
A roof over his head all those years, and he never worked. Now, Michelle, a roof over his head so he could see. So he could write.
Now, wait a minute.
She gave him a space to operate. Yeah, he might have been in the corner in the kitchen, but it was his space that she still gave him. That was like a corner office that she set up for him now. And still, she going slaving, cleaning up at night. I didn't mean to use the word slaving, you guys. I take that back. She was hustling again, working really hard at night. Plus her full-time job. That was her second job, still holding it down while he's in the comfort of a big house that's nice and cool in the summertime.
Even
it's nice and warm in the wintertime. She still provided all of that for him. So, yes,
the mama should have got some money.
If they'd have wrote a little bit different, Michelle, she'd have had a boss attorney who would have said, no. At the end of the day, you're going to get 50%. So let me put this into the divorce decree that if he makes millions, you're going to get half because you put in 100%.
Okay, Steve, respond. Because I have somebody else that wants a piece of you.
Okay, but at the end of the day, all what would have, could have, should have was, that wasn't what the movie was about. The man, when he signed that divorce, he looked at her. When he signed that divorce, he said, baby, you sure you want to do this? He said, because that's not what I want. She said, yes, I want to be done with you. Now, there was no property to divide. There was nothing.
No property.
He had
left.
Nothing. He had nothing. You know,
she
you're exactly. He
left.
Had nothing. He had nothing either. He ain't never had nothing.
But see,
true. He had his dream. He had his dream and his vision.
You know that.
Okay.
The house and the
okay,
tree.
Okay, guess, hold on just a minute. I have a.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Okay, guess, hold on just a minute. I have a. I'm sorry. I have a guest. I have a listener from a Pittsburgh, PA. Zykea, you said you have a quick comment.
Yes, I do. Is that Robert on the line or Steve? Which
no,
one?
Y'all. That's Steve.
You wrong. Hey, you wrong. You are wrong. I know it sounds like a Robert, but go ahead. I know what you're doing there because I work.
I just say,
he go to work.
I watched the movie again today. I've seen the movie twice. I watched it again today. She did hold him down totally, as the young lady mentioned. She held him down. He was very self-centered and only cared about his dream. Although he loved her, it takes more than just love to survive. And he detached himself from her. All he thought about was that battery. You know, he wasn't sure, wasn't telling her she was beautiful, nothing. Here he is giving everything. And this is how all the hostility and stuff just builds up and builds up. And when I'm going to jump forward, when he bumped into the young lady outside that he messed around with, he knew that would trigger something. You had to know that that would trigger something. Why would he take
her
in a car and with
that.
With her? You know,
well, you can't know. I don't think he knew it would trigger because he told her, look, I don't cheat on my wife, but I need. I want to talk to this guy. He said
that in the movie.
That's
what, I'm saying that's what triggered Mel. Is that because this is a very
But he wasn't trying to trigger Mel. He's trying to get in that dough.
Yeah. I would have to agree with that. He was trying to get to Prescott.
She wasn't trying to hear that. All she could do is, her mindset was, all she could go back to is, this is the very person that is the reason why I don't have a uterus, hysterectomy, the whole nine, ran the trailer over, the whole, this is her mindset at the time, I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
thank you, Zakiya.
Zakiya, she don't have a uterus because she was crazy. She don't have a uterus because she was crazy. She didn't have to run that thing through the thing. Yeah, but she did. Now, I ain't mad about the $24,000 because you probably should have got a $2,000 car. I do understand that. But what I'm saying is, I'm not denying that he was not, like she just said, he was one of those tunnel vision guys that's what he wanted. He thought it was going to hit. It didn't hit. It took so many years. I'm not saying it took nothing out of him, but it did affect the marriage. That's not all that is true. Y'all are right. At the end of the day, the guy made restitution ten times more than what she thought she should have gotten. You just called out the total. You said the total, all her time and effort and all the bills was $1.2 million. He didn't have no total in his head. When he got his check, he brought her $10 million. And she kind of threw shade at him when he came over there. Who suits you in? This, that, another. He said, no, I'm not here for that. I always will love you. I love you, and I always will. He gave her $10 million plus a mama house. The mama house had to be worth $300,000, so that's what she got for the thing. So he gave her $10,300,000 and told her,
okay,
hey, we straight. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's fast forward just for a minute.
Like
so Robert McGee – oh, go on, Letha. Go right ahead, and then I'll take us forward, the conversation, because we're down to 45 minutes left.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm still trying
15
to figure
minutes,
out why,
I'm sorry.
Why just $10 million? If you got $150 million or $175 million, why just $10 million?
Because you don't have to give her no million. Y'all not together no more. There's nothing legal to say you got to give her anything.
With that point, guys, let's open it up for some listeners. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to move the conversation forward. So Robert is divorced now from Melinda. She's going crazy. She's melting down. She's exhibiting some behaviors of being unstable and psychotic as a result because she's consumed with this thing. He marries Diana, the lady that worked at the company that helped him get in, that picked him up from the shelter, that encouraged him and told him that she hated to see him like that, be discouraged. They marry. All the things that he promised Melinda, he now lives in a beautiful high-rise looking over the city. He has a yacht. He names the yacht Mrs. Gale's. He has a beautiful wedding for her and a ring, which he never provided to Melinda. And in addition to that, he had a jet. So I want to know from other listeners, listening to the two guests, and I'm going to unmute your lines, and this is going to be kind of difficult if any other people have any comments that they want to make at this time. One moment. Let me just unmute some of these phone calls. And this is what I'll ask, is there a perspective that hasn't been talked about? Like, I don't really want to hear the perspective anymore that Steve has made or that Letha has made. If you're a male and you're on the line or a female and you're on the line and you have a different perspective than what's been presented, then after I'm done unmuting these calls, there's a lot of callers on the line tonight, my apologies. Then I'd like to hear your perspective. But while we do that, Steve, last-minute comments, and then Letha, last few comments.
Yes.
All I'm saying is the woman did hold him down. She did. Can't take that away. But in doing so, everything he said he was going to do, the yacht, the apartment, he showed her the apartment he was going to get. He said all that. He thought that was going to be their dream. He didn't want that anymore based on it wasn't moving fast enough for her, and he wasn't doing some of the things he's supposed to do, no doubt about it. But when he did get it, all he did was get the things that he said he was going to get. The Gale, people got mad. Well, why did he name the yacht that? He already said he was going to name. That's his last name. She divorced, so she lost the last. She didn't, that was his last name. He said he was going to get that. So at that point, you give her $10 million. The judge said she was cashed out. The judge was wondering why you still messing with these people. This man paid you way more than what you asked for.
he didn't forget any details, did he, Lisa?
The judge said, why are you messing with these people? Why are you fooling with these people? This man done already paid you $10 million.
Okay,
he got paid
Lisa,
more than Michael Jordan.
Last comments before I open it up to the listeners.
Okay, you're correct, Steve. I love your comments. You're too funny. But again, I think the fact that because she held him down so many years, she never got anything in return until the very end. She had given up all of her youth. She couldn't have a child.
Somebody need to mute their phone on the other end.
And then when she finally saw him working at the restaurant where she was having dinner, I think it just took her to a whole nother level. Like, no, he didn't. And I think that really, really bothered her on the inside. Now, when he came and gave her the $10 million, me personally, I would have been real happy to take that $10 million. And Michelle, you already know I would have flipped some properties and made another $10 million and got on top of the world, kept on flipping apartment complex and on top of the world, all the buildings. I would have made it work for me, and I would have been about not to stuff in front of one of my old flames and stuff, whatever. And I would have had a...
Please mute your phone, listeners.
Got too much stuff going on in the
because
background.
Because she never got anything in writing in the divorce decree that would have entitled her to 50%, 10%, nothing.
Okay.
So, yeah, so now all the phones are off. Him apologize.
Okay, thank you, Steve and Letha. All the phones are off mute. I got exactly 8 minutes left to this program. Is there a listener, a female first, that has a perspective that's different?
Yes, I'm from Oklahoma. My name is Tamara. And I would like to say this, because I think this is important. I think that we're missing a lot. Understand that women are definitely more mentally more stronger than men are. Sometimes I wonder if the shoe was on the other foot where the man had to hold down this woman in the same way while she was trying to get to her dream, whatever it may have been, would he have held her down this way, knowing that money he had was leaving his pocket faster than he could keep track of it. For some reason, I really get the feeling that men would not have been able to hold it down because mentally you are not stable enough to do that. I know that's a hard thing to say, but it is really actually the truth. I think women put up with so much more crap than men put up with. And I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong in the ending of any of this. All I'm saying is that stuff is going to happen. And how strong are you to deal with what women actually do deal with? And I'm not saying that women are perfect, but I just don't believe that men are mentally stronger than we are.
Let me get a male. Let me get a male perspective. Thank you, Tamara. Great point. I want to hear a male perspective.
Let me say this. Excuse me. Somebody has a radio on in the car or television or something.
Excuse me.
Good
reception.
Please mute your line. All listeners,
somebody
mute
else
your
is
line
not me.
Or turn off the TV in the background or whatever.
It's not me.
If you have a TV on, I can hear something in the background. But... okay, so can I get a male perspective? I need a male perspective, a male to respond to what's being said, something different than what Steve has said. Hello? Okay. Okay, let's get a lady then.
Hi, this is Mia Kepawa from Dallas.
Yes, I can hear you. Go right ahead.
This is Patricia from Dallas. I think that
hi, Patricia.
Hi.
I think one of the things that we're missing is I believe this woman had a psychotic break. I believe that everything brought her to a point to where she just had a mental breakdown. And I believe that sometimes when you're pushed to a point, I never thought that she didn't love her husband anymore. I think that was the problem. That's why she had the break, is because she did love her husband. She did want those dreams, and she still believed in him, but she had people in her ear talking to her, telling her different things about, you know, he's no good, he's this, he's that. That had an effect on her. And I just believe that, you know, mentally, we know that she had a mental problem from the beginning of the movie when she, you know, took the car and ran the trailer over. So
okay.
That's why I don't think she had a psychotic break, what you said.
Nia.
Okay, Nia.
Okay, I want to respond to the question that you asked earlier with regard to, is there a different perspective that we have not heard? I think the boxes in the movie served as a metaphor that a lot of women like to put me in a box. Both of them knowingly went into a situation where she had issues from the very beginning. She knew that he was chasing a dream, and so a lot of the things that she did, it was an abusive situation from the standpoint of physical or mental abuse. That was based on torture. And so what we tend to do is we have this expectation, and I like what the listener just said with regard, had it been different, had this been, you know, a man holding it down for a woman. And so we just have to be really careful with regard to the expectations that we have for men, and then not putting them in a box. You knowingly went into this marriage knowing that this man was chasing a dream. And once the dream came to fruition, he did more than enough. Number one, she failed to handle her business because she should have gotten it in the divorce decree. That is not his fault. $10 million, they were done. They were already done. So I don't care how you slice it. I don't care the emotionalism you inject here. The fact is that they were divorced. And quite honestly, he didn't owe her a damn thing, but he was generous and gave her $10 million. And so we need to call for what it is. And we can say, oh, she lost the baby. She messed up her uterus. That was a choice when she drove that car. That was her choice. That was not on him. That was on her. And so we need to look at ourselves as women in terms of the choices that we make and stop giving ourselves a pass when we have not done what we needed to do. And it's a lesson that we start to make sure that if the situation ever comes, make sure you put it in the divorce decree. If it's not, then it's all just talk.
Okay, we're down to 2 minutes. I have one other. Wait just a minute. I have a listener. Finally, have a male perspective. Daryl from Dallas. We have 2 minutes. Daryl from Dallas.
Yeah, how I get on? You hear me?
Daryl, I can hear you from Dallas. We can hear you.
Oh, bless you. Oh, man. This is all the way right
now. Okay, we lost Daryl.
No, I can hear Daryl.
Go on, Steve.
No, what Daryl was supposed to say was the last caller took all the words out of his mouth, and she spoke. She was saying the same things I said. That's true. But go ahead, Daryl. You can. He's back on the phone now.
We have 90 seconds left. Daryl, 90 seconds. Yeah.
No, can't nobody hear you.
No, we can't hear you, Will. Well, I want to thank all of you for joining us today for Captivating Conversations on Acrimony. We're going to have a lot of spirited discussions and conversations over the next few weeks, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We won't be on for next week on the 4th, but the 11th, we'll be back. So tune in next week. It'll be on Twitter, Facebook, and I'll text you a message. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Enjoy, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Enjoy you as well. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Steve.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, Michelle.
Bye.
Bye,
Michelle.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you for listening. Mr. Jones, why are you still on the line?